L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Titans outside linebacker Ola Adeniyi coming up at 7:40 here on the show. Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock as well. So a lot of Titans discussion coming your way. And as always, we'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Now, Joe, before we get into our storylines heading into Titans training camp with the pads about to go on and things about to ramp up here in training camp, there was a heated discussion, a passionate discussion between yourself and Jared Stillman yesterday about Ryan Tannehill and his interceptions last year in camp and how that was foreshadowing of the interceptions that he threw last season during the regular season. And you tasked Jared to find some audio or find some articles or just some evidence of Tannehill's bad camp from last year yesterday.
Hold on. Hold on. Let me interrupt you.
I'm holding on.
No, he said Tannehill sucked during camp.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. So, and I said, and I want you to back me up. I may be losing my mind. How many times did we say, we know he threw picks. We talked about him throwing picks, right?
Correct. Yes. We did say that.
And yet somehow he doesn't hear that. He doesn't hear it, and he makes poor Ian go out and find a bunch of old – I mean, what is wrong with you, Jared? All right, I'll call
him. Well, Ian has done this, and this was a part of that discussion yesterday on Stillman and Company. Here's what Jared uncovered yesterday here on his program.
I think that's probably – you know, when you throw out there late, that's a recipe for disaster.
You know, day off yesterday. How do you think things went today in terms of being crisp and all that?
Yeah, it wasn't where I wanted it to be. You know, we had an opportunity there to go finish off a 2-minute drive and win the game with a field goal. We weren't able to do that. Weren't as crisp on third down. Had some opportunities and didn't execute on third down. We just got to be better. You know, I think we did a couple good things today, but overall, just didn't have the urgency and the preciseness on the details like I like to see. So definitely a lot of room to improve and look forward to coming back tomorrow and working on those things.
You get more chances, you know, in this time of year than even when you get closer to
the game. Oh, no doubt. You know, training camp's the time to push the envelope, you know, figure out what your guys are capable of, what you're capable of, throwing in some tight windows and some trust throws to guys. And, okay, let's figure out who can make those types of plays for us as we get into the regular season. And, you know, as the closer we get, you know, the more realistic you have to be about, you know, what throws you can make and what throws you can't.
Interceptions notable again today. At what point do they cross the line of teachable moments, getting used to new guys around you, and become cause for concern in the preseason?
Yeah, they've come in different situations, you know, and some of them are flat out unacceptable. You know, we got to take care of the ball down in the red zone. When we're down there, we can't try to force it into tight windows when the throw isn't there. And then some of them were working 2-minute drills at the end of the game and, you know, we're down on the clock and we got to give somebody an opportunity to go make a play. But
so that was a combination of Mike Vrabel, Ryan Tannehill, and Todd Downing there in the evidence that Jared apparently has come up with.
Oh, and by the way, Downing was not just talking about Tannehill picks there. There's another point to make. Other quarterbacks threw passes in camp and threw picks.
This is true.
So again, Jared, we know that Tannehill threw more picks last camp. Also, he threw picks in the 2020 camp, too. I promise you. This is a tiny little subpoint of the argument, which is I don't believe Ryan Tannehill's a huge story in camp. I don't think we're going to learn anything about Ryan Tannehill. That's really my argument. Like, he's not, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how he leads and all this. And we're going to watch him play in practices. He's not going to play in preseason games. Whatever he does, I continue to have the exact same question I had after the playoff game. And this camp won't answer it. Then this whole thing that poor Ian has to go find all this audio. Because, again, I'm just saying that Jared exaggerates when he says Tannehill had a bad camp. He had some good days and some bad days in camp last year. He did throw more picks. We did talk about it. We said that yesterday. You don't listen. You make Ian go do this crap. Ridiculous. Anyway, let's move on.
You win, Joe.
Well, I mean, it's just not. No, we all lose. We all lose.
I'd like to keep talking about it. I just want to see if we can get you losing your mind today.
I'm having a terrible week. I need to calm down. Jared is like a, never mind. It's like a tick, you know? He just burrows under your skin and you just can't, what do you do? Do you use a lighter? You get a knife? It's hard.
It is. It's very difficult.
But now I don't want to be, I love you, Jared. Just stop.
Hey, we'll see what the storyline of Tannehill looks like. He is the starting quarterback, Joe.
He is the starting quarterback. Tannehill is the top story of the season. I mean, I think we can all agree. Tannehill and Henry, to me, are like 1-2, in my mind, of the season. Individual stories of the season, for sure. They are nowhere near my list of storylines of camp. That's just how I look at it. But I want to hear your top 10 list, individual storylines of importance in camp.
Well, with the Pats coming on, so I'll start with what I'm looking for now with the Pats coming on. And I'll be honest with you, the Treylon Burks part of it has been knocked down a peg or two just because he's out there and apparently is at least in some good enough condition to get through a practice now. So that was the number one thing heading into camp I was looking for. But now that he's done it, can he keep doing it? Yes, that's still a question. What sort of an impact is he going to be in terms of immediately contributing to this offense? That's still up there. But my number one storyline now with the pads about to come on is left guard and right tackle. Who separates themselves at left guard and right tackle? Because we've been talking about it, and you can go out there and you could look at who's playing where and all this other stuff, but it really doesn't matter until the pads come on and you have to hit each other, you have to block, you have to do all these things. And is Dylan Raidens ready for it? That's individually, he's my number one. Dylan Raidens, is he ready for what is about to be a stiff test for him on that defensive front that the Titans bring to the table? I mean, the good news if you're the Titans is he's going to get a pretty good look at what a stout defensive line and a defensive front in this league looks like every day in practice. And then, of course, there will be the joint practices with the Bucs and the Cardinals as well. But to me, how many times did we bring this up last year, Joe? You can talk about Julio Jones. You can talk about Derrick Henry getting hurt. You can talk about Ryan Tannehill struggling. But a lot of that was also the offensive line and not being all that good in pass protection. There's a chance that the offensive line could be worse this year. So that is my number one storyline of I'm looking at Dylan Raidens specifically, and I'm also looking at left guard with Aaron Brewer and with Jamarco Jones. By the way, Mike Vrabel had some nice things to say about Aaron Brewer yesterday, but Dylan Raidens, I think, for me right now, is far and away the number one storyline.
Okay. Yeah, he's high on my list too. So I'll rip through how I look at it. I'm still putting Burks first just because – I mean, you're right. Like the whole, it's not like, is he going to be out there or not? But I just, just in terms of importance for the season, like it's so important for him to stack it and keep going and be ready in week one. So just in terms of impact on the team and how much there's still so long to go for him here in the next month, I'm still putting him number one. I'm putting Farley number two. That's the one spot on defense. And if he is what he looks like very early right now, then I think that means a lot for the defense. Then I'm going Raidens versus Petit Frere. And it is good to have Petit Frere there if Raidens falters. Then I'm going Brewer, Jamarco Jones. I mean, it's just both those spots. It's so important to have answers. My fifth would be Malik Willis. It's still the future. It's not this season. But individual storylines in camp, I mean, this could be the future of the quarterback. And again, let's separate it. What he does in camp is critical. What the starter, who we know will be the starter, does this year is not, in my opinion. Then I'm going Robert Woods. It's still really important to see how he plays, if he's as explosive, all these things. Then Chigakonkwo, who I think is could be a real nice addition to that offense and more of an impact than I thought going into camp. Then I'm going McCreary because it's still important for a rookie like that, second-round pick, to have a good camp and be ready. And maybe he can push Farley. I don't know. Then Theo Jackson slash third safety. I think it's a really important thing. I asked Theo yesterday about the, you know, the idea of being the Crookshank type guy. And, you know, he's like, I'm just trying to be trying to make the team, be a good safety. But they need an obvious third safety. Back of the receiver room is next. That's my last one. And that's, you know, Dez, Racy. How do those guys come on? Do they have the answers there? Do they add to that? Honorable mention, Bud Dupree, how he's looking. Taylor Lewan, inside linebacker depth. Rashad Weaver, I think, is certainly worth watching. Nate Davis, still really important. Is he, you know, is he going to have a better year? D-line depth, some of those battles, those would be mine. And not at all, for me, not at all, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, Kevin Byard, Jeffrey Simmons, Harold Landry, et cetera, et cetera. Known commodities that we know what they are, and known commodities who they're going to get work, they're going to be in shape, they're going to lead, all that stuff. But camp isn't going to tell us anything about them.
We'll continue this discussion coming up next. What are your top storylines for Titans camp as the pads are about to come on? What is your number one thing that you're interested in as the Titans continue to go through these practices at training camp? 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away to see Jamie Johnson at First Bank Amphitheater coming up on Thursday, August 25th. The caller number 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Jamie Johnson at First Bank Amphitheater coming up on Thursday, August 25th, 615-737-1025. So we are discussing the top Titans storylines in training camp as the pads are set to go on. Joe's rattled off his list that he just went through a minute ago, which, by the way, does not include Ryan Tannehill or Derrick Henry. Just throwing that out there once again. It is interesting to me, the Jeffrey Simmons contract situation. Is that not on your list at all, or are we just going strictly on the field here?
Yeah, that would I mean, I'm talking on the field. I'm talking, like, again, with pads coming on, like, we're about to start watching these guys go. We know Jeffrey Simmons is out there. So, yeah, if we're talking – again, if we're talking season storylines, there you go. Get Tannehill, Henry, absolutely. And Simmons and his contract. Although even that – at this point, whatever it is, and it's probably negotiations.
Yeah,
he's fine. He's out there. So, I just didn't consider that for this particular, you know, for this particular thing.
So I'll go through this real quick. I had Dylan Radins, the right tackle spot at number one, left guard at number two. So my top two are on the offensive line right now. Treylon Burks is at number three for me. I've got Malik Willis at number four. And maybe that's just because he's a quarterback and I'm really interested to watch, see what happens there. But I've got Willis at number four, Caleb Farley at number five, and what he can bring to the table. He would be higher for me, Joe, but if the defense wasn't already so good anyway, I've just got him at number five on that part of the list. I've got the back half of the receiving room at number six with Des Fitzpatrick and Racy McMath. Who's going to step up there? Josh Malone. Is he going to step up there as well? I've got safety depth at number seven with Theo Jackson coming in. Is it going to be him? Is it going to be somebody else? Because I think, look, you really right now, you need Imani Hooker and Kevin Byard to both stay healthy the whole year. And if they don't, you could have some real problems back there. So I've got that at 7. I've got inside linebacker depth at number 8. Could there be anybody that emerges there? How long is Monty Rice going to be out? Same situation that I just talked about with safety. Like, you're going to have some depth there in order to make that happen. Number 9, Chigakonkwo. How quickly can he come along? I feel great about Austin Hooper being in that spot. Jeff Swaim, for what he is, like, I don't feel great about Jeff Swaim being some, like, elite pass catcher out there. But for what he is, I feel okay about him in that spot. But Chigakonkwo could end up making a gigantic difference there. So I'm looking forward to that as well and to see what happens on that front. And at number 10, it's a combo. Who in the world is going to be the punt returner for this team? It's a random one that we haven't talked about.
I like that.
But who in the world is going to be a punt returner for this team? Is it going to be Kyle Phillips? Is it going to be somebody else? Who is going to end up returning punts? It's become, you know, I heard D. Mason, the guys talking about this yesterday. It's become kind of a lost art in today's NFL, but field position, very important. I think field position, when you have a good defense, is even more important because it could flip the game if you can get some stops and you can get some decent yardage back the other way on your punt return. So I snuck that one in there at number 10.
Well, I like that, and that actually brings up an interesting aspect of the early, you know, guys out catching punts, that Treylon Burks is one of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what is that, you know, is that something that they're really seriously going to consider? Be a little bit surprising for someone who, you know, you would love to turn into, if not your one receiver, you know, right up there. But I mean, hey, if he's good at that, then you're right. I mean, that's something that they can really get better. And Phillips has been effective. So I've kind of thought that Phillips would, you know, would have the inside track. And we'll see. You know, we'll see how that goes. But it's just interesting that Burks is back there at all, that they're giving him a look. And Vrabel talked about that yesterday. Let me see if I can find the quote. You know, Vrabel talked about that a little bit yesterday and basically said, you know, of course, as always when he's asked about punt return, you know, no, I can't find it. But as always, when you talk about punt return, the first thing is, you know, you got to catch the ball. But yep. Then also, Burks is a guy who's been hard to tackle. So, you know, could Burks be actually in the mix there? And at kick return is Trenton Cannon. That's how he makes the team. You know, if Trenton Cannon makes the team, which I think would win the Pulitzer for me if he does, it's because kickoff return, you know, gets a bolt from it. And certainly, most of these, you know, kickoffs are not returned anymore. But when you have that opportunity, if you have a threat, it's not bad. And he would have to be very good elsewhere. He'd have to be a core special teams player, of course.
Mark from Ashland City on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, my top 5 is 1, Burks, because of how badly they need him to be impactful. 2, right tackle. 3, Caleb Farley. 4, Malik Willis. And 5, Dez Fitzpatrick, as he really started to get it. So Dez Fitzpatrick cracking the top 5 for Mark on the text line. I like it.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on your top 4, Mark. That's very close to mine. Dez, that's high for Dez. But if he's really, like, if you capitalize and italicize, really started to get it, and now you had a clear 4th guy, and again, I'm putting Burks in the top 3 just because they need him to be there. And he certainly has.
He's going to be in the top
3. Yeah, he has the ability to be there. I'm just saying, like, right now it's early, but that's his destiny. But if you have a clear 4 with Dez and he separates himself from the other guys, that's good. I mean, that's good for him. Could be good for the Titans. Could he be – like, could Dez Fitzpatrick be, you know, like a Tajay Sharp kind of player for the Titans? A guy who, you know, possession receiver, but reliable, go out and make some plays for you, solid player. Now, he had a more prominent role early in his career because they just really were struggling to find receivers, right? It was like Tajay Sharp and, you know, Rishard Matthews. They bring in Andre Johnson for a month. I mean, Kendall Wright actually had a pretty good year that year, that 2016 year. But someone like that, if he can be like a Tajay Sharp-level player, that'd be good. Then, you know, then you have that. And if Kyle Phillips is, and it's again, for me, it's just so hard yet to have a great feel. I thought Kyle Phillips definitely did some good things in the spring. You know, that could be a pretty decent five-man group, you still in that don't have the quote-unquote speed guy, but I'm thinking right now that this offense is just not going to have that this year.
Very quick sports trivia. Do you know where Tajae Sharpe is playing right now?
He's in Atlanta, right?
He is not. He's with the Chicago Bears. God bless the Chicago
Joe's
Bears.
Joe's favorite team.
Oh, yeah.
Love Chicago teams.
Yeah, they're going to be awesome. That's going to be a big difference maker for them. Having he actually could probably get some snaps for that god awful offense. I guess the default.
Okay, Detroit Lions.
The Lions will have a better offense this year than the Bears.
I hate and make fun of the Detroit Lions more than any other team. Do not even try to tell me I'm a Lions fan. I disavowed that 24 years ago, and it has been one of the best decisions of my life.
Well, it's coming back once you see Dan Campbell in Hard Knocks, though.
So. Well, I will be watching that. I'm actually kind of excited about Hard Knocks. I'm not going to lie.
By the way, Ian Rappaport just put this out on Twitter. It says, while the Bucks, and we talked about this to end the show yesterday, Joe, while the Bucks await final word, the fear is that Pro Bowl center Ryan Jensen has suffered a season-ending knee injury, sources say, a likely frustrating end to his 2022. So, not looking good for Ryan Jensen. We said it yesterday in the show. Anytime you get carted off the field in training camp, probably not a good sign.
That's brutal, man. That's awful. It won't be the last one in camp. Happens every year. It's a big hit to the Bucks too. Been a very important player.
Caleb and Gallatin, real quickly, we'll get to this, Joe. Do you guys agree with playing Burks in the preseason? This is coming from Caleb and Gallatin on the text line.
I do. I don't know that Vrabel will. That's going to be super interesting. This might be the most interesting choice because, all the known commodity guys we talked about, all the guys who I don't think are storylines in camp, they're not going to play. Maybe get a series with some of them. But Burks, you really need him ready. I feel like there's value in – certainly there's value in those practices. That's higher value. But I still think there's value in a game setting, getting out there, different opponents, looking at different opponents' tendencies when you're about to match up with them, all that stuff. I think actually playing a few series could benefit him. So I think he should. I would play him, but Vrabel, very much, focused on injury avoidance. And he even talked about that a little bit yesterday. By the way, we can get into that a little bit later in the show about how they've really tried to just break this down from every angle to try to keep this team healthier this year.
Coming up next, we'll have a speed round edition of the Rex Rant coming up, and we'll get to Ola Adeniyi, Titans outside linebacker at 7:40 as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
It's Friday, gotta get down on
Friday. And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road, a speedback round edition of the Rex Rant today. Ola Adeniyi, Titans outside linebacker, coming up at 7:40 today. Here at Oldham Program. So without further ado, Joe Rexrode, I turn it over to you.
Okay, but real fast, this artist is who?
Rebecca Black, It's Friday.
Yeah, I remember the song.
Horrendous.
It's Friday, baby.
More annoying than I remembered. It goes well with the text I'm getting from Jared right now, just really testing my patience. All right, here's my rant. I went to Hamilton, as I said yesterday. Went to Hamilton the other night with young Caroline Rexrode. Amazing show at TPAC. Catch it if you can. I think they're there for a few more days. And it brought up something that really bothers me and bothered me again here. And it's an interesting question of when you are sitting down in an aisle of seats and someone has to get up or someone is just walking through, walking past you, what should you do? For anybody who's been to TPAC, they're pretty good. There's pretty good leg room. So there's some room to walk. So some people can stay seated and you know, there's enough of a pathway for you to walk. For me, you know, I have like really long legs and stuff. Usually I have to get up when people have to walk, like a movie theater or whatever it is, a game, you know. Sometimes, though, and I did this the other night, you know, I can take the legs and go sideways, right?
Oh, yeah.
And create enough room, and that's fine. And, again, as long as whoever's trying to walk by, and sometimes it depends on their size, too, and they have enough room, and you kind of show that, okay, you acknowledge it, and you're going to stand up, move, whatever, or even just scrunch back a little bit, something. As Caroline and I are walking through the aisle, some people are standing, and it's, you know, it is, like, we're kind of in the middle, so, like, it's a lot of, like, there's basically, you can go on either end.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's quite a few seats. Some people are standing up. Some people are doing the put the legs to the side thing. I'm kind of looking down the aisle, and I catch an expression on a guy who kind of looks like he's a little bit pissed off that we're walking to our seats. And, you know, I mean, I feel really bad for you, sir, because I'm sure you never have to get up at any point. I mean, you just, like, snap your fingers and you just appear in your seat, and then you go to the bathroom and do the same thing. Yeah. I mean, like, this was us just going. It's not like it was us in the middle of the show going to the concessions or going to the bathroom. It was, like, before the show, going to our seats, and this guy has this, like, pissed-off expression, and his feet are out. They're out more than they should be anyway. Like, they're, like, comfortable sitting. They're a little bit extended.
He's in full lounge mode, yeah.
And absolutely doesn't move an inch. Does not move. Okay? Even the people I think some of these people were with him did. He didn't. And, you know, I stepped over him, and I'm not going to make a big thing out of it. I didn't, like, look back or glare at him. But seriously, dude, like, what's wrong with you? Just move out of the way. I mean, this is such an imposition that someone is trying to go to their seat. Like, just move your foot back a little bit. I could have stepped on his foot. And by the way, that's about 245 pounds on your pinky toe. Might not be all that enjoyable. Wouldn't do it, didn't do it. But I just...
See, I would do it.
You would do it? Just yes. Just a big stomp?
I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to fall on your lap there. But if you move those clodhoppers you got down there out of the way, we'd probably be able to get to our seat. Thanks, though. Appreciate it.
Joe just fall on his lap. Oh, sorry, sir.
Yeah, maybe I should have. I just, again, like, this kind of goes into, you've talked about lines and cutting, you know, like, there's a lot of things like that at public things that I think there's etiquette. And I think basically it's just like, you know, create a little bit of room. I understand sometimes it gets annoying. I understand it gets annoying sometimes that people are constantly getting up and down during something. I get that. Like, there's another side of this where it's like, again, like, enough already, right? But this is before it starts and you're just going to your seat. Like, I would love to understand the mindset there.
Yeah, I don't have much sympathy for the before it starts. Like, I could understand if, like, the same person is getting up and going back and forth 16 times throughout the course of a movie and or show, where that would get pretty annoying and that would probably upset me. But before the show, just get over it, man. You got to get to the seat somehow.
Yeah, so now I actually regret because, you know, like at intermission, as always, with intermission, we left and then back. And obviously, it's easy. A lot of people are getting intermission. I actually regret not going the other way because I never crossed paths with him again. But it just sort of, you know, just sort of ticked me off for a little while, even while the show started.
I think that is justified anger on your behalf. This has been the Speedbag edition of the Rex Rant today. We'll have Titans outside linebacker Ola Adeniyi coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Titans training camp is underway. And to help us talk about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Titans outside linebacker Ola Adeni. Ola, thanks so much for taking time to join us this morning. How are you? What's going on?
Man, what's going on with y'all? Shoot, I'm on my way to the facility right now.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, Ola. So what have the first few days of camp been like for you? What's kind of stood out to you so far with this new group this year with the Titans?
You know, honestly, it's been a good camp so far. I can tell you, man, everybody's coming in feisty this year for sure. It's been a good couple of days here so far. We stacked a couple of good days, and hopefully we just keep stacking them good days.
So who's really feisty? Who's the feistiest right now out there? What's your feisty level?
I can tell you, man, I can't speak for the offense right now just because, you know, I don't practice on that side. But I can tell you defensively, man, guys are coming in hot.
No question about it. So, Ola, what did you prove to yourself last year with the year that you had? And now that you're back here with the Titans, what do you want to add to that and build on from what you learned last year?
You know, honestly, I kind of wanted to prove last year that, you know, I belong in the league and that I can play. So, you know, I feel like I kind of did that a little bit to show the coaching staff that they can trust me to go out there and play a couple snaps on defense and relieve some of those guys. So, you know, I felt like I did a good job of that, and I appreciate the coaching staff putting me in good positions to strive and be my best. So coming in this year, you know, I want to do more. I want to be able to come out there and really help the team win more games.
So, Ola, obviously you were one of the stories of camp last year, and we noticed pretty quickly, you know, once team stuff started happening that, you know, you were providing a lot of pressure off the edge and making plays. At this point, after this offseason, other than, you know, obviously trying to be in the best shape possible, things like that, is there something specific you've tried to add to your game or you've tried to prioritize in terms of, you know, developing as a player?
You know, honestly, I've made a good name for myself in the league, and I've said I've done what I needed to do. Now I kind of want to take the next step in being a leader, especially on special teams. You know, I feel like I can provide that kind of quality towards the younger guys, and, you know what I'm saying, help them out and develop, and, you know what I'm saying, develop myself as well. And, you know, being in more of a leadership role, and, you know what I'm saying, leading guys and, you know what I'm saying, setting high expectations for guys.
Ola, in your mind, what goes into being a high-level special teams player at the NFL level, and how much pride do you take in that role?
Oh, man, it's definitely dedication. You know, coming into the league, a lot of guys don't see themselves as, you know what I'm saying, special team guys. You know, especially when you're coming from, you know what I'm saying, college where you were the guy, you know. You were that guy where you didn't have to do special teams and you didn't have to be in special team meetings and all that. So, you know, making that adjustment and being dedicated to it, man, it's definitely one of the things that you need, you know what I'm saying, because it sounds easy, but it's not, you know what I'm saying? You got to go out there and practice and get better at it each and every day. So I will say that's something different, like, you know what I'm saying, guys getting their mentality right to do special teams.
What's the most difficult part about it? Or maybe even, like, particular unit or particular job, like the hardest part of doing special teams?
Let me see. The hardest part of doing special teams, man, honestly, it's just like I said, the mentality of it, being accepting of it and being willing to do it and putting as much effort into it as you playing defense or offense, you know. You have to strive on it, because you got dogs on special teams, man. I'm not going to lie to you. You got to be able to hold your own out there. And, you know what I'm saying? You want to be able to – you don't want to be the guy that, you know what I'm saying, you turn around and next thing you know, your guy makes the tackle and, you know what I'm saying, and everybody's making their block. So you got to be dedicated to
it. Outside linebacker Ola Adeni on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Ola, defensively, as you look at your group heading into this year, you've got a lot of experience coming back from last year. A lot of the same casting crew as well. How excited are you for this defense, and what do you think this defense can be as you try to formulate that identity for yourselves heading into this year?
Oh, man, I'm excited, man. You got guys coming in ready and hot. Like I said, you know, you got Big B's, Big Bud Dupree coming back healthy as ever. You know what I'm saying? So, and you got Nico coming back. You got Big Jeff. You got H. You know, just that front four right there. Then you got guys like Zach Cunningham that, you know, now we get to start the season off with them. Not, you know what I'm saying, towards the back end of the season, you know. So, and then, you know, we have probably one of the best safety duos in the league, in my opinion. So having all that, man, I think this defense is feisty. And, man, we got guys, and even rotationally, we got guys that can come in and take some of that heat off of guys. So being able to have that, not every team got that, you know what I'm saying. So that definitely changes it up a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, especially at your position, Ola, like you said, you've got Bud Dupree now with an offseason, not worrying about, you know, rehabbing a knee, but just getting ready for a season. Harold Landry coming off his best year. You have been able to make plays. And then Rashad Weaver now coming back too. I wouldn't think that there's too many teams out there that have, you know, four players, you know, like that, that they feel good about. What have you seen in particular from Rashad as he's come back from his own injury and now is out there trying to carve out a role?
Oh, man, you know, Big Weed, man, I've been with Weed since college, you know, when in my Pitt days, you know, Pitt University was right next to Pittsburgh, so I've seen a lot from him, man, and I can't wait to see him go out there and ball. You know, last year, unfortunately, his season was cut short, but, man, yeah, I think he's going to have a good year as long as, you know what I'm saying, he keeps developing and keeps producing, and, you know what I'm saying, he keeps taking coaching. As long as he keeps doing all that, man, Weed is going to be fine. He's going to be a good player.
What about going up against this offensive line every day in practice, Ola? As you guys start to put the pads on and training camp ramps up here, you know, obviously guys like Taylor and Ben Jones and Nate Davis have been around the league for a long time. But I guess how excited are you to go up against some of these younger guys like an Aaron Brewer or like a Dylan Radins and guys like that, Nicholas Petit-Frere coming in from Ohio State, just the young talent that you guys have on the offensive line?
Man, anytime you get to go against your own squad and guys like that, like you said, Ben Jones, Taylor, Aaron, like Nate Davis, you know what I'm saying? Anytime you get to go against guys like that, man, it only makes you better each and every day. So, you know, I try to put myself in that position just to be able to go against guys like that. You know what I mean? Because we're only going to make each other better. So it's definitely been a fun couple of days. And man, you know, when the pass come on, it's gonna even get better.
Well, look, I think back to last year, Ola, you know, early days of pads, and you were going up against Dylan Radins quite a bit. You know, he was a rookie at the time. And, I, you know, from the media perspective, we're just looking at Dylan because he's a second-round pick, and it's like, oh, man, he's struggling, without thinking too much about, you know, who's the guy who's you know, going past him. But obviously that you end up, you know, carving out a role. It's a great story. A year later now, you're seeing Dylan. I know that he's, you know, he and Nicholas are there at right tackle competing for that job. Do you detect a different player in Dylan? Have you seen the work paying off for him in terms of – I know he was one of the offseason winners too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't think the coaching staff would give him that type of accolade, you know what I'm saying, if he hasn't earned it, you know what I'm saying, especially – me knowing Cadrable, he damn sure wouldn't do that. So I know Dylan has been working this offseason, working his butt off, trying to get right. And, man, I can't wait to see him go out there and produce it all. And like I said, even being a second-round pick, man, he's coming in ready to play, and he's hot. And he's one of those feisty guys that I'm talking about. Man, he's got that spirit in him that he's trying to win a starting job. You know what I'm saying? He's going out there every day trying to win a starting job.
Ola, what was this offseason like for you? Did you do anything fun this offseason? What was it like as you tried to prepare for this next season coming up here with the Titans?
Oh, man, this offseason was, you know, I had a good amount going on, man. While I was training, you know what I'm saying, trying to stay in shape and all that, you know, I bought my first house myself. The first house I bought was for my mother, so now I finally have my own. Also, I started my business. I finally got to start my business. So, you know, it was a good off season for me, man. I got to develop not just as a player, but as a man. And so it was a good offseason for me.
What's your business?
I started my transportation service business, man, in Houston, Texas, in the Houston area.
Nice. So,
very nice.
You tell us a little bit more about it. So transportation, like.
So it's more of a luxury transportation. So you know what I'm saying, we cater to your needs. So whatever you need at any time of the day. So especially, you know, with our sprinter's been getting booked constantly throughout the weekend. So it's like, you know what I'm saying, we take that heat off of you where you have to worry about, oh man, I'm gonna go out and drink with my friends, and you know what I'm saying, you don't gotta drive. We, you know what I'm saying, we try to help cut down on DWIs and DUIs, and just having people be able to just go out there and have fun, especially Houston being the area where people travel into. So we just provide that service for you to where you don't gotta worry about any of that, and you could be around your friends and just have fun in one area. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, take that's yeah. Go ahead.
No, you good,
but so what? I was just gonna say, give us the plug. Like, give us the website. You got a Twitter account, you know, for people in the Houston area.
So I got we got an IG page right now. We do got a website, but I'm in the process of changing the domain. But right now we got an IG page, AB_transport, and the AB stands for Denny Brothers. This is something that I wanted to do with my family, especially me and my brother. Got it going on. My cousin is involved. My uncle is involved. So it's a family operation that I want to kind of, you know what I'm saying, blow up. And I think, you know what I'm saying, as we keep doing this, I think we can take over the Houston area with the transportation services.
That's awesome. Ola, we really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Good luck as training camp continues here, and looking forward to talking to you soon.
Appreciate you having me, dog.
Thanks, absolutely. Ola.
Ola Danny, Titans outside linebacker, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Yeah, he's quickly becoming my favorite Titan. Love that guy.
Yeah, the enthusiasm is it's very obvious with him. And I think probably a big part of why he's had the success he's had.
DJ Burnside on Twitter says, Ola never disappoints. # feisty for show.
I love that.
Well, in all seriousness, Joe, though, like we've talked about this a lot, but it's not just that front four or whatever term you want to use to describe the Titans pass rush. There's also a Danny. There's also a Weaver. Like, they've got a chance here this year. If Weaver comes along and a Danny continues to play like he did last year, they got a chance to have a legitimate rotation this year that could be pretty darn effective for this team getting after the quarterback, which, as he just pointed out, not a whole lot of teams around the league have a rotation quite like that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they, you know, deploy that. If they do try to, like with Landry in particular, you know, try to maybe ease up on his snaps a little bit. But also, it's just, look, we know injuries are going to happen. They're going to happen at every position. That's a position that is, to me, ready for a season. And I say what I said to Ola there, like, with what he did emerging last year and what I think Rashad Weaver is going to be, I don't know how many quartets of, you know, edge guys or outside linebackers are better than that around the NFL.
It's pretty cool offseason for Ola Danny. Buying a house, starting a business. That's a much more effective offseason than I had. I'll put it that way.
I was going to say, he just made me feel bad about my lack of productivity the last few months. Job, Ola.
Yeah, pretty good stuff there from Ola Danny. We'll have TD coming up here in just a few minutes. But, you know, I look at this defense, and he brought it. It was interesting to hear his thoughts on the special teams part of it as well, because obviously, you know, we're talking about his role kind of in that rotation on the pass rush, but he's going to be a pretty key player on special teams as well. He certainly was last year, and sounds like he has a little bit of fun playing some special teams out there at the NFL level.
Yeah, and that's still, I mean, that was his ticket here. That's, you know, that was the initial, you know, attraction for the Titans to him, and that's his identity as an NFL player. You know, the fact that he's been able to develop and become a guy who can give you some snaps on defense is a credit to him, but ultimately, you know, there are a lot of guys like this in the NFL. Like, you've got to be great at that, and you know, I think the thing he talked about, like, mindset, you know, one is like, okay, this is you. Like, you know, you have to embrace special teams. You may not play a lot, you know, on offense or defense, but also, you know, the speeds, you're talking about guys getting a huge run up and full speed. I mean, you got to be really courageous, right, to be willing to do that stuff. And it's the most underrated part of football always. I mean, look, we don't talk about it that much. No one does. But, I mean, it's a huge part of having success. The Titans need to be overall, as a team, you know, better there this year too.
Yep, there's no question about it. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. We'll get his thoughts on his observations through the first couple of days of Titans training camps. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.